Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to look at how Noah's Ark is a type of Christ. We often learn more about a particular Old Testament event or subject by studying its typology to something in the New Testament. In this case, we can learn a lot about Noah's Ark when we compare it to Jesus Christ. First of all, we want to look in Genesis chapter 6, in verse number 14. We want to see, first of all, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14, that the ark was made of wood. The ark was made of wood. We see the Lord told Noah to make thee an ark of gopher wood. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, as we look at the typology, amen, a wood or trees comes from trees or living organisms. And we see that living organisms or trees had to die to save Noah's life. Amen. They built the trees that gopher wood came from, was used to make the ark. So the ark was made from living organisms, trees, and the living organisms, the trees, had to die to save Noah's life. Now we see the typology in that Jesus had to die to save us, amen. Looking in Romans chapter 5, we're going to keep going back from Old Testament to New Testament as we look at the typology as the Noah's Ark is a type of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 with me. And in Romans chapter 5, we want to look at together verse number 10 of Romans 5. Word of God says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Amen. Going back to Genesis chapter 16, another thing that we want to see here is how the ark, when it was built, was three stories high. Amen. We want to look at Genesis chapter 6 again in verse 16. We read, "A window thou shalt make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it." So we see that the ark was built three stories high. But now we want to look at the typology. There are three heavens, amen, and Jesus is in the third heaven. Amen. Looking in 2 Corinthians, we'll come back to Genesis again. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12 with me. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we want to look at verses 1 through 4 that shows us that there are three heavens. Amen. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter." So we see then that the one of the characteristics of the ark, it was built three stories high, and then we see there are three heavens, and Jesus is in the third heaven. Of course, the first heaven is our atmosphere, where you see the clouds and the fowls of the air flying. The second heaven would be you know, the, with the moon and the stars and the sun are and the planets, and of course the third heaven is where the throne room of God is, and where the Lord Jesus Christ is seated right now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. Also in Genesis chapter 6, verse 16, we see that the ark had a window above. The ark was built with a window above. We read it says, a window thou shalt make to the ark, and a cubit shall thou finish it above. Amen. So the ark had a window above. Now as we look at the typology, there are windows in heaven where Jesus is. First of all, look in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 2. We read in Genesis chapter 8, verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. So we see the windows in heaven. And then again in the book of the Song of Solomon. Amen. The Song of Solomon. Look with me, if you would, in chapter number 2, in verse 9, we read, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, and he looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. And, of course, my beloved here is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to see another characteristic of the Noah's Ark is it had a door. Amen. Noah's Ark had a door. Looking in Genesis chapter 6 again with me, if you would. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 16 again, we see that it says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, In a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. So we see then that Noah's Ark had a door. Again, the typology, Jesus is the door, is he not? That's what he said there in the Gospel of John in chapter number 10. In John chapter number 10, beginning in verse 7, and reading down through verse 9 together, Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So we see then that Noah's Ark had a door, and we see the New Testament typology of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door. Now notice as we go back to Genesis chapter 6, that Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives went in, amen, into the ark. Look at in chapter 6 of Genesis verse 18. In Genesis 6, verse 18, the Lord said to Noah, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, in thy sons, in thy wife, in thy sons' wives with thee. Now, we see the New Testament typology here, or it was of what was to come, amen. We see the Philippian jailer was given a promise that he and his house would be saved by Jesus Christ. So we see the Lord here told Noah that he and his wife and his sons and their wives would enter into the ark. Amen. Just as Paul and Silas, amen, promised that he and his house would we say by Jesus Christ. Look at in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we see the Philippian jailer comes to Paul and Silas after there was an earthquake, amen, and all the prison doors were open. And of course, at that point, the prisoners, including Paul and Silas, could have escaped, but they didn't. And of course, a jailer who had a prisoner escape on him was put to death. But we see here that the Philippian jailer comes in and he says in verse 30, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs," talking to Paul and Silas, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Amen. So the Philippian jailer was promised that he and his house would be saved by Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the next thing we want to see here as we're looking at the ark as a type of Christ, we want to see that the Lord said that Noah and his family would have enough food, would be supplied the food that they needed while on the ark. Going back again to Genesis chapter 6 with me, in Genesis chapter 6, in verse number 21, we read, "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them." So the Lord instructs Noah to gather the food to have on the ark for he and his family. Well, that reminds us, as we see the typology in Christ, that Jesus is our bread. Is he not? He's the bread of life, and he supplies all of our needs. Look with me, first of all, in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, in verse number 35, John 6, 35. I hope as we go through these references that you're writing them down, so you can have, at another time, spend more time in this study. We read in John chapter 6 and verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So we see that Jesus is the bread of life. Also in Philippians chapter 4 with me, in Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 19, we read, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. So we see then Noah and his family had food. Their needs were met on the ark. The food was supplied. They gathered it. The Lord instructed them to do that. And we see the type in Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. All our needs are supplied, amen. God supplies them according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, another thing as we turn to Genesis chapter 7 this time, in verse number 7, we want to see something interesting here in Genesis 7, verse 7. It says, "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." Now it says, "And Noah went in." See, they were in the ark. Amen. And that reminds us, as we see the typology, you have to be in Christ to be alive. See, they had to go into the ark. They were in the ark to be able to stay alive, to be protected from the flood. Amen. Just like you and I have to be in Christ to be alive. Amen. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 8 with me. And in Romans chapter 8, we want to look together in Romans chapter 8 in verse number 1, Romans 8, 1. We read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So just as they were in the ark, they went into the ark to be saved from the flood, to remain alive. Every human being, if they want to really be alive, they have to be in Christ. Amen. And then we see that in Genesis 7, verse 7, we read, they went in and forsook the world. Amen. They went into the ark and they forsook the outside world. Amen. And that's a picture. We see the typology in, we died to the world in Christ. Amen. We died to the world. Just as they went in and forsook the world, when you become born again, you die to the world in Christ. Look in Romans chapter 6. First in Romans chapter 6, in verses 4 through 7. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. And then look in Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8 with me. Mark chapter 8. And once you get to Mark, we want to look at verses 35 through 38 of Mark 8. Mark 8, verses 35 to 38. Jesus says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So again, we see, they went into the ark and they forsook the world. My friend, when you become born again, you die to the world in Christ. Now notice also something about the ark. When Noah and his family went in, it was the Lord that shut him in, that shut him in the ark. Look at in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. It says, and they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, in the Lord shut him in. Amen. That reminds us, amen, as we look at the typology in the New Testament, we are sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit, are we not? If you're born again, you're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, then you've been sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a couple of verses that speak about this, that tell us this, that show us this, that say this, amen? We're not just making this up, amen? The Word of God tells us this in Ephesians, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse number 13, Ephesians 1, 13, we read, in whom ye also trusted, talking about Christ, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Referring to the person believing on Christ is sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise. Amen. And then we see in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 30, we read, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's when your body is redeemed, amen, when you come up out of the grave, at the resurrection, at the voice of the archangel, at the trump of God, amen. All right, and then we see there that Noah and his family, they were lifted up above the earth. They were lifted up above the earth. Look at in Genesis, going back to Genesis now, in chapter 7, verse 17. Genesis, again, chapter 7, verse 17. We read, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth." We see in typology, do we not? We, as believers, will be lifted up above the earth at the rapture, will we not? Looking in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with me. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verses 13 through 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, amen, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. Another thing we want to see is the ark rested. The ark rested. Look in Genesis chapter 8 this time. In Genesis chapter 8, in verse number 4. "And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat." What does that remind us of? What's the typology? Well, the Lord gives us rest, does he not? We see the type of, we're looking at the Jesus Christ as a type of Noah's Ark. Just as the Ark rested, the Lord gives you and I rest as believers. One of the greatest verses on that in the Scriptures is found in the Gospel of Matthew, if you'll turn there with me. In Matthew chapter 11, amen, Matthew 11, in verse number 28, Matthew 11, verse 28, look at this. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what he promises, amen. Just as the ark rested, amen, as we see Jesus Christ is a type of Noah's ark, the Lord gives the believers rest. Also in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews with me, in chapter number 4, in Hebrews chapter 4, we want to look at verses 9 and 10 of Hebrews 4. We read, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." And then we see that, remember, the dove that Noah sent out there returned to him. Amen. Again, in Genesis chapter 8, in verse number 9, we read, "But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark." Again, as the dove, amen, returned to Noah, as we just read, there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18, we are going to, as believers, return to the Lord at the rapture. Now, in studying the ark, you may find other types of Christ that are interesting and edifying to study. Furthermore, there are other types connected with Noah's flood and the ark that are helpful to study out. For instance, you can learn the types connected with the dove, since the dove is a type of the church. Amen. Looking in Song of Solomon again. Song of Solomon. In Song of Solomon, in chapter 6, in verse number 9, my dove. Amen. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. My dove, speaking of the church, my undefiled is but one. Isn't that right? The church is but one. There's one church. She, the only one of her mother, she is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, and yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Amen. Now notice, we saw how the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot in Genesis 8:9. Likewise, Christians, amen, if you're really living for the Lord, Christians really trying to live for God, find no place of rest in the world. And the reason for that is because we are not of the, of this world. Look in John, the Gospel of John, first of all, in chapter 17, John chapter 17 with me. In John chapter 17, in verse 16, of course, this is the Lord's prayer to the Father here. John chapter 17, verse 16, he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. So, Christians, we find no rest. If you're really living for God, you'll find no rest in the world. Just as that dove, which is a picture of the church, found no rest for the sole of her feet. And then we see in James, look in the book of James. James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, look with me if you would, in verse 4. Notice what it says. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So you and I cannot be, if we're living for God, a friend of the world. Because we are not of this world, as Jesus said, as he was not of this world. Well, that concludes our study today on how Noah's Ark is a type of Jesus Christ. And we saw that he was a type of Noah's Ark in many ways. Again, this study, as any of our studies on the Pastor's Study, are available on audio cassette tape. If you'll just contact me and request a particular study at the address that the young lady is going to give you at the broadcast. And I want to thank you for those that have written in with notes of encouragement. I really appreciate that. I appreciate hearing from you as the Lord leads. If you'd like to drop me a line, please do. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to help you in any way I can to be a blessing to you. And I praise God for the ministry that we're able to come to you on WGCR in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. We praise the Lord for the folks there and the fine ministry of the church there and their pastor. Until we meet again, I want to thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the Pastor's Study. And as I said, till we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.